transportation research. And I'd like to acknowledge my funding sources, especially dissertation support from the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. Well, what are free clinics? Well, often it's best to actually understand what free clinics aren't. I'm not talking about public clinics or federally qualified health centers. Similar to health centers, though, they are private nonprofit organizations. And like health centers, they serve underserved populations, but where they distinguish themselves from health centers is they're mostly volunteer-run by health professionals. They deliver a range of health services, like health centers, but they seek to serve the uninsured. Most free clinics, their principal target population are uninsured persons. And unlike health centers, they charge no fees, or if they charge a fee, it would be very nominal. Why should we care about free clinics? Well, free clinics have been part of our healthcare safety net for a very long time, and arguably they serve some of our nation's most vulnerable patients who are at great risk for having very poor health outcomes. And we know, frankly, very little about organizations that serve this population. At the same time, we see alternate sources of ambulatory care for these populations on the decline. At the same time, we see greater recognition both at the federal and the state level. And our universal coverage, at least in the very near future, is probably quite unlikely. When you look at the free clinic literature, it's very, very sparse. What it is composed of mostly are personal accounts about free clinics. There was a study a few years ago that looked at 7 states and the free clinics in the Midwest region, and there was an attempt at a national study, but it used only a single source of data, and when you look closely at the source, it contains clinics that are not just free clinics, but a range of other types of clinics, and the sample size is only fewer than 300, so it doesn't at all characterize the free clinic sector. There was a recent study looking at physician volunteerism, but this study combined 2 different models of care to the uninsured. It looked at free clinics and so-called provider networks. There hasn't been a national study of all free clinics, a census study, since the 1960s, and at that time there were only 59 free clinics in the U.S. As a consequence, the free clinic literature hasn't allowed health services researchers to use it in studies looking at the ambulatory care safety net. And those studies that do have had some of the same limitations. They use incomplete data, apply an ambiguous definition of a free clinic, or the design doesn't allow for generalizability. So my study is an attempt to fill in some of these gaps. So the research question that I attempt to answer as part of my dissertation research is, how many free clinics exist, where are they located, and what do they do? Also, I was interested in understanding why do they exist as part of the safety net, but that's another question that I'm not able to cover in this presentation. So, because the free clinic literature doesn't have any consensus about what is a free clinic, I had to come up with my own definition. And so I define free clinics as private, nonprofit free clinics that are direct providers of a health service. They're staffed either by paid staff or volunteers. They either charge no fee or a nominal fee, and the nominal amount threshold that I apply is no more than $20. They can be housed in a variety of different kinds of settings, either permanent or temporary. They seek to serve uninsured, and the way I operationalize that is that most of their patients are uninsured, and they may participate in billing insurers. I want to emphasize that I exclude any clinic that expects payment either at the time of service. They might deny care or reschedule a patient if it can't pay, or they expect that a patient will pay subsequent to the visit by sending a bill. And I exclude all clinics that would be directly supported by federal programs, FQHCs, rural health clinics, Title X family planning providers. So I developed a 12-page mail survey formatted as a booklet, and the questions were derived closely with input from more than 50 free clinic experts in the field. I pre-tested a number of different versions of the instrument across 23 different kinds of clinics in 9 states and explored 5 domains: clinic operations, their patients and services, the staff and volunteers, and their future plans. because there is no source for identifying free clinics, I had to start and create my own list. So I combed through existing member lists of organizations that have free clinics as part of their membership. I examined all available free clinic directories and then supplemented that with extensive searches through GuideStar, which is a nonprofit database of all nonprofit organizations that file a 990 form to the IRS, internet searches. I said I couldn't have done this study without the internet. On the survey, I asked free clinics to identify other free clinics in their communities. That was an important source. And then I contacted a number of organizations that serve similar populations to ask them whether or not they knew about free clinics in their state or in their community. I contacted free clinics at least twice, first with a FedEx letter and then followed by a reminder postcard, and up to six times, depending on the response. Survey administration spanned 15 months. I concluded the survey administration about a year ago. Over that period of time, I mailed about 1,200 surveys. About 17% of them that were returned, though, failed to meet my study criteria, and I determined them ineligible. I was left with an eligible sample of free clinic overall response rate of 76%, with 764 surveys. I did look at non-respondents. There is limited data available about free clinics that didn't respond to the survey, but I was able to specify their geographic region, the size of the urban population in which the clinic resides, and I did contact clinics and obtain the founding year of non-respondents because that was a good measure, a proxy measure for their capacity. And none of these turned out to be independent predictors of non-response. Here's a map showing the number of free clinics that I located across the United States. The way to interpret this map is the darker shaded states have more free clinics. This isn't adjusted by population, but what you find is that in the U.S., states have between 1 and 68 free clinics. There is not a clinic in Alaska, but there is in Hawaii, but not shown here. You'll see that most free clinics are concentrated in the Midwest and in the southeast part of the United States. And this is really what motivated the other question. Why is there such variation in the number of free clinics from place to place? Now I'm going to really step up the pace to take you through a number of slides that give you a flavor for what are these what's the sector about. Most free clinics are medical clinics. They provide medical services either by themselves or in combination with other services, principally pharmacy. You see here the free clinics are very heterogeneous population, and I think this is expressed by their operating budget. This very much population is positively skewed. Many more free clinics are smaller with small budgets. 44% have operating budgets below 100,000. The mean is much larger than the mean. 287,000 versus 125. So half of free clinics have budgets below 125,000. Very few have budgets above a million. Where do they get their money? From a number of different sources, mostly from individual civic groups, churches, also from foundations and corporations. Importantly, most free clinics, 60% reported that they receive no funding from government sources, and another 25% roughly say that their money from government represents less than 25% of their operating budget, so they depend very little on government sources of support. Free clinics, most free clinics that exist today have been founded in or after 1990, 82%. But I have clinics that reported in my survey that their origins date back to 1911. The oldest free clinic is a dental clinic, and the oldest free medical clinic reports its origins to 1913. So they've been with us for nearly a century. I looked at the number of days open per week and found that half of free clinics are open three or more days a week. Across all the free clinics, on average, they're open 18 hours a week. And if you look at clinics that are founded more recently on the right-hand side of the slide, you see that they're not as open, about a third are open three or more days a week. So this suggests that free clinics are able to expand their capacity as they mature. Let's look at their patients. Most free clinic patients are adults between the age of 18 and 64. This is principally because children and elderly have more access to public insurance. If you look at patients by race and ethnicity, you see that half of free clinic patients are white, but free clinics disproportionately serve minorities. And this is not surprising because we know that Latinos are 3 times as likely to be uninsured and African Americans are 2x as likely to be uninsured. If we look at them by income, most free clinic patients are poor, and the remainder are mostly what would be considered near poor, or the working poor, with incomes below 200% of poverty. Most free clinics, 56% report that they serve only uninsured patients, but those that do report serving patients with insurance, most don't bill for those services. Only 6% report billing insurers. If we look at the average number of patients per clinic per year, I divided the slide into new patients and total and duplicated patients. See that the mean number of new patients per clinic per year is 748, and the mean unduplicated is about 1,800. So if you multiply this across the number of free clinics that I estimate to exist across the country, that adds up to about, at the mean, 1.9 million patients served by free clinics per year. Moving from patients to patient visits, here I'm looking at medical and dental visits, but if you just take medical visits, the mean, most free clinics are reporting that they provide 3,217 medical visits per clinic per year. This accounts for about 3.2 million medical visits provided by free clinics across the country. Look at their services. The way to interpret the next few slides is that the darker shaded bars are what's available on site and then by referral and then not available. What you see is the range of services that free clinics are able to provide on site is pretty limited. Most free clinics provide urgent or acute care. Most free clinics are reporting providing chronic disease management care and physical exams. Lab and x-ray is offered mostly by referral. If we look at reproductive health services, about half of free clinics report providing gynecological care on site, but family planning and prenatal or OB care is offered mostly through referral. And if you look at a range of other kinds of services, you see that specialty care is mostly available through referral, medications are available on site, and this is a distinguishing characteristic of free clinics, that they're able to provide medications on site. Most provide health education. More than half of free clinics report not charging any fees or requesting a donation for their medical services. It's about the same for medications and slightly under half for dental services. I think an interesting finding to point out or emphasize is that while free clinics, even for services that aren't available on site, the services for which they provide a referral, lab, and x-ray here, they're able to negotiate an arrangement on behalf of their patients so the patients pay nothing for that service. And then free clinics use a variety of strategies to provide medications to their patients. Physician samples, they participate in drug company patient assistance programs, they're purchasing medications, and a variety of other strategies. Let's look at their staff and volunteers. As I mentioned, that free clinics distinguish themselves from health centers in that they are generally volunteer-based. The mean number of volunteer hours per clinic per year is 4,245, which I would estimate across all the free clinics would be about 4.5 million total volunteer hours provided at free clinics. But most free clinics are able to support their volunteer infrastructure by having a small paid staff. Most free clinics, 78%, report having paid staff either full or part-time. If you look at a range of some of those staff types, 2/3 of free clinics have an executive director in a paid position, but most clinical staff are operating on a volunteer basis. Look at other kind of professionals, and you see that social workers and psychologists are very underrepresented at free clinics in any kind of capacity, paid or volunteer. And then because free clinics are not able to provide a comprehensive range of services on site, they do depend on referrals, an organized network of referral providers, and on average, they provide 362 providers, referral providers a year. So this would be about 380,000 referrals made to providers across the free clinic sector. I believe that the survey findings suggest that free clinics are much larger and do a lot more than I think commonly appreciated. Free clinics, because they don't charge a fee or charge something very nominal that has an optional nature to it, I believe also arguably serve patients who would not otherwise be served. If you look at the mean cost to receive care from other kinds of providers, if you're uninsured, it's often well over $50. If you look at the very existence of free clinics, it suggests that a safety net that's supported only through government or insurance doesn't explain sort of the full availability of the range of choices that we have. And I believe that the failure to consider free clinics as part of the safety net has really limited our understanding of the kind of care that uninsured patients get, and it also has limited our public dialogue on what the range of models ought to be. Thank you. I'm happy to take questions. Questions? The question was, do free clinics target risky populations? I did ask free clinics in the survey if they serve special populations, and among the special populations that I named was persons with substance abuse disorders. But only about a third, as I recall, believed that that was a target population. I think free clinics that were developed in the 60s certainly did grow out of providing care to the counterculture, drug users and runaway kids, but I think they've become much more mainstream as the uninsured numbers have grown, and they're really responding to the working poor. There's still remnants of that, but I wouldn't say that characterizes many free clinics anymore.
What about the homeless?
The homeless, too. I found that it was less than half of free clinics that reported as part of their target population to serve the homeless. And I think in part because we have healthcare for the homeless programs that are helping to address that population. And what I found in the results that I mentioned but what didn't cover is that there are fewer free clinics in communities where there are other alternate sources of care. So perhaps you find fewer free clinics targeting the homeless where there are more healthcare for the homeless programs.
And they did not meet your criteria because they get federal funds?
Because they're direct providers, yeah, because they are federally qualified health centers. Thank you. The question asks, you know, what happens to health centers or free clinics over time? I'm very much hoping to be able to conduct a longitudinal study so that I can more precisely talk about what happens to free clinics. But what I do know is that a number of free clinics grow up to be health centers. I don't know what portion, probably a pretty small portion. I think a lot of free clinics just simply disappear. If you see that 82% of free clinics have been founded since 1990, I think it suggests a fairly high death rate for the organizational form. But if you look at the literature, you do see that free clinics grow into community clinics and are started, that some of them survive. And I'd like to be able to try to answer what are the characteristics that allow free clinics to survive.
Thank you.
What I see a trend when I look at free clinics that are older versus newer is that they're more likely to participate in Medicare and Medicaid, so that they are trying to sustain themselves through trying to identify other sources of funding. Because actually, I didn't find much of a difference between their operating capacity in terms of the number of hours that they're open between religious and secular clinics. I was actually surprised myself not to see much. 37% of free clinics are religious-based.
Thank you, Julie.
Okay.